Today we look at the third part of our study of Judas Iscariot the Apostle. Today we're going to learn how the Lord was in complete control of everything. The Lord Jesus was in control of the exact time of his death. He was in control of the place of his death, where he would die. He was also in control of the manner of his death, how he was going to die, and he also demonstrated his power over those who are responsible for his death, including Judas. We're going to see about the time of his death. In Matthew 26, verses 1 to 5, we read these words, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people." Here we see a picture of man's dreadful sin, as J.M. Darby says, the picture of man's dreadful sin. In the crucifixion of Jesus unfolds before our eyes, but the Lord himself announces it beforehand with all the calmness of one who had come for this purpose. This is the fourth time that Jesus announced his death in Matthew's Gospel. In chapter 16, verse 21, chapter 17, 22 to 23, chapter 20, verse 18 to 19. But on this occasion, the Lord does not mention the resurrection. Since thousands would be present, they feared that many of the Lord's supporters from Galilee might react to any arrest and stone them, because emotions often ran high during the feast, and there were many rebellions and riots, and the Galileans were a rowdy lot. And these men feared the multitude because most of the Lord's followers were from Galilee. He was from Galilee. Most of the Lord's ministry was in Galilee because that's where the greatest response was. In Judea, there was mainly hardness of heart and opposition most of the time. Galilee was called Galilee of the Gentiles in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 15. And also, because of their mixture with the Gentiles, they're looked upon as not as pure a Jew as those in Judea. We read that there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices, Luke 13 verse 1 tells us. Acts chapter 5 verse 37 says, "After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished and all, even as many as obeyed him were dispersed." So Galilee was notorious for troublemakers. So these men feared that if they arrested Jesus during the Passover, there would be a riot and the people would attack them. And so they planned after the feast. After the feast of unleavened bread is over, 1 week later, we will kill Jesus subtly. Once all the crowds start going back to their own part of the country, once the crowds are less, somehow we'll get him and kill him. That was the plan of Jesus' enemies. Now the Lord knew this, for the Lord is omniscient. Despite their plans, Jesus said this, that he would die on the Passover, just as the scriptures prophesied. Abraham said to Isaac, "My God shall provide himself a lamb." Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. He is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb, 1 Corinthians 5:7 tells us. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So he had to die on the Passover day. But the enemies planned he would die 1 week later, not on the Passover day. So how is it the Lord died on the Passover day? How is it he died on that exact time as scripture had fulfilled, despite the plans of his enemies? The answer is found in verse 14 of Matthew 26. In verse 14 of Matthew 26, we read, Then one of the twelve, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. It was the arrival of Judas that changed all the plans. It was the arrival of Judas that changed the plans, so that the Lord was crucified on the Passover day on Friday, not 1 week afterwards. Because of Judas, Scripture was fulfilled. He did not realize the Lord is in control of everything. Even his very betrayal would fulfill Scripture and would enable the Lord to die at the exact time Scripture had prophesied, as God had planned. And so we learn one of the reasons why Judas was chosen. We wonder, why would God choose such an evil man? But here's the first reason: so that Scriptures will be fulfilled, and the Lord would die on that very day of the Passover. Secondly, the Lord was in control over the place of his death. In Luke 13, 31 to 33, we read, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out, and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." The Lord made it clear he was going to die at Jerusalem. We remember other places where they tried to kill him, but they could not. Even at the town of Nazareth, where he was brought up. Luke chapter 4, they took him to the brow of the hill upon which the city was built, and they wanted to hurl him down the cliff and kill him. But he walked past through all of them, for his hour had not come. He did not come into this world to die being thrown off a cliff. He came to die on a cross, and he came to die at Jerusalem itself, outside the city walls, just as the Scriptures had said. So he was in control of the place of his death. Herod could not kill him whenever he wanted. The people of Nazareth could not kill him whenever they wanted, or wherever they wanted. He would die at Jerusalem. He was also in control of the manner of his death. John chapter 3, verse 14 to 15. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And so, he was not going to die, as we saw in Luke chapter 4, verse 29 to 30 is the reference. Luke 4, 29 to 30, we read the words, "And rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." He was not going to die by being thrown off a cliff. He was not going to die by stoning either. In John 8, 59, "Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Then, in John chapter 10, 31, "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." But the Lord Jesus was not going to die a death by thrown down a cliff or by stoning. Every time they tried to kill him, they could not kill him, because he would die one way and one way only, as John 19, 15 tells us. "But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar." No Jew would ever wish crucifixion on another Jew. They hated the Romans, and they would never think of allowing the Romans to kill one of their own. The law commanded death by stoning for the lawbreaker. But these Jews were so full of evil and demon-possessed. Satan-possessed, many of them were. They were their father, the devil. Jesus told the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father, the devil." They wanted him to die. the worst possible death he could die, and that was death by crucifixion. The Lord was in control of the manner of his death. The Lord was also in control of his enemies. In John chapter 18 and verse 3, we read, "Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons." John's gospel alone mentions lanterns and torches. The other gospels mention that the soldiers came with their weapons. But John is the only gospel that mentions they had lanterns and torches. Because John's gospel is the gospel that shows that Jesus is the light of the world. And he includes this to show how foolish men were, searching for the light of the world with lanterns and torches. In verse 4 of John 18, "Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye?" So the Lord was not caught by them. He went out to meet them. He was not hiding from them. He knew they were coming before they even knew where he was. He went out to meet them in complete control of the whole situation. And he asked them whom they had come to seek. He knew why, who they had come to seek. But he wanted them to know whom they had come to seek. And so he asked the question, "Whom seek ye?" He wanted to impress upon them, as well as upon his own disciples, who it was they had come to arrest, who he really was. So they answered in verses 5 to 6 of John chapter 18. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, literally it says here, "I am." He is in just italics, it's just added in for the translation, but literally it's the name of God Jesus declared to them. "Jesus saith unto them, I am." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, "I am," they went backward and fell to the ground. They do not address him as Lord. They just call him Jesus of Nazareth. They saw him nothing more than a mere man. But when the Lord Jesus declared the divine name of God, the very name that God told Moses at the bush, "I am that I am, that is my name," they were made to go backwards and fall on the ground before divine majesty and glory and power. And the disciples also would learn from this, that their God, their Lord and Savior didn't go to the cross a helpless victim. He could have destroyed all of them, but he went willingly to the cross. The Lord has them groveling on the ground before him, as one day every knee will bow to Jesus, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. The Lord had them in the dust before him. Verse 7, he says in John 18, "Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye?" Had they learned their lesson? As they were made to be prostrate before the Lord of glory, had they learned their lesson that they're in the presence of deity? No. It showed the hardness of the hearts of men, despite all the miracles they had seen him do. Despite being made to grovel in the dust before him, they again say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said, answered, "I've told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none." Again, the Lord demonstrated his deity and declared the divine name, "I am." Only the Lord would die, not his disciples. They would have killed them too. But the Lord shows complete control over his enemies. He commands them, "Let these go," and they have to obey him. And the disciples were allowed to go without being killed. He was in full control of the situation. And that verse, that saying was fulfilled, that he lost none. He's the good shepherd who never loses his sheep, though they be scattered when he is smitten. Zechariah 13 verse 7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered." and I'll turn mine hand upon the little ones." The Lord Jesus spoke these words of Zechariah in Matthew 26:31. He mentioned those very words as his disciples were scattered when he was smitten. The Lord was in complete control of everything. He was in control of the time of his death, and Judas played a part in that. It's one of the reasons why Judas was chosen, and there are other reasons too that we're going to see in our further studies. We're going to see how even Judas, by his betrayal, brought glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ because of the Lord's control of everything, because of the Lord's glories and perfect humanity and perfect sinless nature. Even Judas had to confess that he has betrayed the innocent blood. Control of the place of his death, that he would die outside Jerusalem. He was in control of the manner of his death. He would die the worst death a person could ever die, to be crucified and cursed of God upon a cross. He was also in control of his enemies, showing to them that he could have destroyed all of them, but he allowed them to take him. And as a lamb led to the slaughter, he went, and so he openeth not his mouth. In control of his enemies, so that he allowed his disciples to escape, so they would not be taken, he commanded them to let them go. How wonderful we see the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ, even as we study the life of this utterly wicked and evil man. May the Lord bless his word, and we shall continue our study. Amen.